It's hard to think, isn't it, of a subject more important than how God accepts or rejects us. Hebrews 9, verse 27 in the New Testament says, "All are destined to die once, and after that to face judgment." One way to find out whether or not you've got this sorted in your life is to think, what case will you make when you face God's judgment? Or how would you answer God's question, "Why should I accept you into heaven?" If you don't know how you'd answer that question, this morning's Bible passage from Romans 3 should help you. If you think you do know, then check whether or not your answer to God's question fits with the truth God has in Romans 3. You might like to follow on perhaps a handout that you had, some of the headings I am using, given you with the new sheet. And to understand this chapter, we need to look at the background that Paul has already outlined in his letter from chapter 1 to chapter 3, verse 20. Because he has set out the nature of the human problem very clearly. And unless we realize the nature of that problem, our predicament, then we won't see why we need Jesus or any saving. We have to hear the bad news first before the good news makes any sense. And there are three aspects to this bad news I want to draw to your attention. First, nobody keeps God's law completely. Paul wrote, "There's no one righteous, not even one." That's Romans chapter 3, verse 10. And chapter 3, verse 12, "All have turned away." That is, turned away from God. And our passage this morning says this quite bluntly, "All have sinned." Chapter 3, verse 23. That is, offended God by breaking his laws. The fact is, everyone has a sense of right and wrong. They may or they may not know the Ten Commandments, but anyway, what God requires is written on their hearts, Paul has already said, Romans 2, verse 15. They know what is right and wrong, and sometimes they fail to do what is right and do wrong instead. We all, have failed to obey God's laws completely. We're all sinners, and there's a barrier preventing us from knowing God. So what if you are pinning your hopes on saying to God something like this, "I never broke any of your laws. I always obeyed your laws completely without fail. I always put you number one in my life. I always respected you and never spoke ill of you. I never lusted, was never greedy or envious. I always told the total truth. Your commands, yes, you name any one of them, I always followed it entirely. That's why I deserve to be in your heaven. Now let me in." I'll tell you what, you won't convince God if that's your answer. And I don't think you'll convince yourself either. For we all have a conscience. And sometimes it tells us that what we said, thought or did was wrong. There's the first ingredient of the human problem. We're all guilty before God. Here's the second. God is right to be angry with people. In the words of Romans 1, verse 18, "The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness." Or Romans 2, verse 5, "Because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath, when his righteous judgment will be revealed." What is this about God and his wrath? Well, it's not God losing his temper or having some sort of random dislike of certain people. It's not temper tantrum. He has a settled objection to sin. God detests sin. It offends him. You see, he is holy, he is perfect, and he has to react negatively and sharply to it. He can't ignore it or overlook it. He rejects it and punishes it. That is the second ingredient of our human problem. God is rightly angry with us. And none of us can get on well with God until something is done to remove that righteous anger. And one more aspect of this bad news. None of us can make ourselves right with God by keeping God's law. Don't think, "Well, yes, I admit that I've broken God's laws in the past, but I promise not to do so again. If I keep all God's laws for the rest of my life, will that do?" No, that won't do. It can't undo the wrongs already done that are on the record against you or me. God's laws, you see, they don't save us, but they do point out that we need saving. Romans chapter 3, verse 20 says, "No one will be declared righteous in God's sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin." Can we make ourselves right with God? No, we can't. So do you get these three aspects of the bad news? We're all guilty, God is rightly angry with us, and we can't provide a remedy ourselves, not by promising to make ourselves better or by any other way. For there is a debt we can't pay. There's a gap that we can't bridge. Or there's a barrier that we can't remove. Whichever way you look at it, we're snookered and can't find a way round. Fred's a sinner. Can he fix it? No, he can't. Put your own name there. For if there is to be a solution to our problem, it has to come from God. And you know, those ideas are very radical in our society. Because the idea is deeply ingrained in us that in life you get what you work for, that after effort you get the rewards you deserve. Practice your musical instrument for long hours and you deserve to pass the exam. Practice your driving a lot and you deserve to pass your driving test. Practice football a lot, some of you listen, and you deserve to win the cup. Study hard and you deserve to get your degree. Save hard enough and you deserve to get the house you want. You'll say, well, there may be some truth in those statements. Yes, there are, but the trouble is that approach will never work with God. We'll never understand this justification by faith in Jesus unless we get rid of the idea that it is something we deserve or can earn. So what hope is there for us then? Seems we're in a no-win situation, doesn't it? If we try to improve ourselves, you can never remove past guilt that way. And if you don't try to make yourself better, you just gladly sin whenever you feel like it, that's certainly not going to help either, is it? That's where we come at last to our passage this morning in Romans 3. Follow it with me if you like in the church Bibles on page 1131. It starts by telling us about the source of righteousness. I'm going to read verses 21 and 22. "Now a righteousness from God apart from law has been made known, to which the law and the prophets," that's in the Old Testament, "testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." So where does this righteousness come from? This being made right with God? Well, it said at the very beginning of verse 21, "Now a righteousness from God." It isn't what we contribute, it's what God gives. It's from him, and it is, the verse says, apart from law. That is, it's not provided by law. Well, then how is it provided? And verse 22 tells us, through faith in Jesus Christ. It might be that some of you have been hearing about the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ in various ways, perhaps in recent weeks or months, and you wonder, why is it so important to bring Jesus in? Why does he make such a difference? Well, let's move on. My third heading is redemption. Verses 25 and 26. God presented Jesus as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. He did this to demonstrate his justice, because in his forbearance he left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. Did you notice the phrase, "We can be justified freely by his grace"? That is, it's a gift of God, it's free. It's not something we're ever entitled to or deserve or can pay for. And in case we miss the point, note that it is by grace. That is, by God's kindness. Fred's a sinner. God is gracious. Can he fix it? Yes, he can. But let's not misunderstand this. When God declares that things have been put right between him and someone, he's not saying they weren't really guilty, or there wasn't enough evidence to prosecute. As we've seen, the case Paul had been building up in the early chapters was a strong case that we are all guilty and powerless to save ourselves. How come then that God can both stick to that view that everyone is guilty of sin that's offensive to him, and yet put them right with himself. Why does faith in Jesus make all the difference? Well, verse 24 is about being justified freely by God's grace. What does it say? Through the redemption that came through Christ Jesus. Yes, Jesus gave his life as a ransom for many. When I was in my teens and my elder brother left home and I wanted some money, I went to the local shop that would allow you to take things and leave them there. I took his collection of London Transport bus tickets, rare ones. He worked for London Transport, and this was a history he'd written. When I went back to redeem it, it had gone, and I couldn't. Do you know the idea of redeeming something? Jesus has redeemed us. Think of it like this. God is in his courtroom. The verdict, guilty, has been passed. And what we await is the sentence. And note that the judge, God himself, does not pick on someone in the gallery who has nothing to do with the case and say, you must pay the price for this crime, and then I'll let the guilty person go free. Instead, what is this judge doing? He's leaving his judge's seat and coming into the courtroom and saying to the guilty person, I've paid your penalty to redeem you. And because of that, you can go free if you want to. Trust me, you are not condemned. If you believe me, just unbolt the door of the dock and go. That illustrates that God came into this world in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ, and died for our sins out of love for us. Put your hope in him and you'll be right with God. Pin your hope on yourself, your achievements, things that you do that you think are good, and you will not be right with God. Jesus himself said he didn't come into the world to condemn, but to save. But if you reject him and don't want this way, then you remain condemned. Verse 25 confirms why relying on Jesus is so essential. It says, God presented him, that is Jesus, as a sacrifice of atonement. That is, the sacrifice Jesus made for us on the cross turned aside God's wrath, or removed God's wrath by dying in our place, redeeming us, receiving the penalty due to us. No one else has done that. No one else can do that. No one else needs to do that, because what Jesus has done is enough. Do you see yet why Jesus is so crucial? This is how one hymn puts it. Because the sinless Saviour died, my sinful soul is counted free. For God the just is satisfied to look on him and pardon me. The only way to be justified, that is to be made right with God or declared by God to be right with him, is faith in Jesus and what he did on the cross. It's there in so many of our hymns. Do you know this one? All you that pass by to Jesus draw nigh. To you is it nothing that Jesus should die? Your ransom and peace, your surety he is. Come see if there ever was sorrow like his. He died to atone for sins not his own. Your debt he has paid and your work he has done, so we may receive the peace he did leave, who made intercession, my Father forgive. Or this hymn, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. No merit of my own I claim, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. The only way to be justified, made right with God, is by faith in Jesus and what he did on the cross. If you go that route and you trust Jesus and ask God to change you and you're made right with God, what then? I have the heading boasting or faith in the notes. Now we're right with God. We've got something to boast about, haven't we? We've made it at last. No, says Paul, not at all. Boasting is excluded. Why? Verse 28 tells us people are justified, that is declared right with God, by faith in Jesus and what he did, not because they observed the law. And Paul has another point. You might ask, is this the same for Jews and Gentiles? Or is it the case that Jews get right with God because they keep the law. It's the Gentiles who can't ever make it. They have another route, not at all. Paul says Jews and non-Jews are made right with God by faith in Christ. You see, no one can say, I'm right with God because I deserve it, I achieved it. The truth about all of us, if we're Christians, is you were bailed out by Jesus. You've been declared right with God by faith in the same Jesus as any other Christian. You're not superior to them or any other Christian. We all came the same route. Is it clear? If you and I are Christians and have become justified, that is declared by God to be right with him, it was through his love and mercy and grace as a free gift. And that is nothing to brag about. Rejoice about it, of course. But never forget you owe it to God. He provided it through the sacrifice of Jesus. So what about the law then? If the way to be saved is not by law keeping, can we then chuck it out and live as we please? No, not at all. Because God's law about how to live is wise and it's a good pattern for us. And the wonderful thing is, when you put your faith in Jesus, the life-giving Spirit of God comes to live in you. And God, by that Holy Spirit, works in us to change us, increasingly giving us power to live as he wants us to live. And God wants us to do good, not in order to save us, but because we are saved. Listen to Ephesians 2, verses 8 to 10. Some of it will ring bells in your mind from what we've looked at in Romans. Paul is consistent in his letters. This is what he says, Ephesians 2, verse 8. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Oh yes, God wants Christians to do good, not in order to be saved, but because they have been saved. So in closing, I want to come back to the question I raised with you at the beginning. What are you going to say when you face judgment and God asks why he should let you into heaven? On what grounds are you hoping to receive God's welcome? Are you still trying to clock up merit that you hope will get his approval? Give a bit to charity. Stop swearing. Avoid telling lies. Work hard. Love your parents. I pay my taxes. Kind to foreigners. Surely God will accept me then? Actually, no, not on that basis. Yes, do good. Some of the things I mentioned were fine. But none of us should have confidence or peace of mind that in the end our good deeds will persuade God to accept us. Are you on that treadmill, trying to do enough good that you hope you'll get God's attention and love and approval? It's a never-ending treadmill. Pedal as fast as you can. It's never enough. It never gets you to peace with God. Or is it now clear to you that what will make you right with God is faith in Jesus? He is God's remedy. Yes, God puts us in the clear when we humbly confess our sin and put all our hope in Jesus. He is the key. He is enough. Trust him and you go free. That's the good news. I said we'd get there in the end. But one warning as we end. It's expressed well by Paul in Galatians 5 verse 1, where he wrote, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." Once you start relying on Jesus to make you right with God, never go back to thinking that God accepts you because of your law keeping. And never let anyone tell you Christ isn't enough. You also have to keep the law, and God's decision on whether to accept you or not is on hold to see if you completely keep his law for the rest of your life. No, not true. Isn't there a world of difference between saying, I have been set free through faith in Christ by the grace of God, and saying, maybe if I can just do enough good, some more good, then I'll show God I'm good enough for him. Well, if you were a Christian when you came in this morning, rejoice again that by God's grace you are saved through faith in Jesus Christ. But if you were not a Christian when you came in, but you want God to declare you're right with him, I hope by now you know what to do. Stop trying to impress God and hoping that will be enough. Instead, turn to Jesus. Have faith in him. Let us pray together. Father God, this being right with you as a free gift through faith in Jesus Christ is much better than we could ever have hoped for. Lord, how kind and generous you are. Help us, we pray, never to forget that you have provided a way whereby each of us, guilty though we are, can trust Jesus and be right with you for the rest of our life here and forever. We ask that by your Spirit you will impress these truths upon our minds and our hearts so that we may remember them and live by them and commend them to others all our days. For Jesus' sake. Amen.